All right, good. We are in our second lesson of things we know, and I can't figure out if I'm in two series or in one series, if this is a new series or if the one on things we didn't know was a different series. But we're going to call this lesson number two in things we know. I'll be in John 8 and talking about that. Last week, we talked about we can know the Lord. And what a great moment that is when you come to know the Lord, not just in salvation, but knowing Him as your friend and being close to Him and just knowing Him personally. That is the first thing we just talked about. Of course, we're not going to go into the lesson, you can know you have eternal life. It's something we talk about so often, but 1 John 5:13 says that. The second lesson is what we can know is we can know the truth. We can know the truth, John 8. And I'm going to start at verse 28, Jesus talking to the Pharisees and some of the Sadducees and some other people who were believers, some Jewish folks who did believe. And then many of the religious leaders turned against him at this point. Said, then sent Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as a Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do alway those things that please him. And he spake these, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Then Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and let's talk about this passage. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful words of life. Lord, this is such a powerful chapter. And Lord, as you talk about truth, we need you to give us insight into your truth. Lord, if there's anything I'm not seeing right, make me see it right. And I pray that thy Spirit would just be in control. We need power. We need the power of the Spirit. Now, Lord, we know that the Spirit leads and guides us into all truth, as we'll study, but also the Spirit empowers the Word. And it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. And you said, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? We ask that thy Spirit would be powerfully in this room, and you'd speak to us, help us to see the truth about the truth, and to understand it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus knew he was right here. He knew it was going to happen. Everybody else didn't know. Even his disciples, who he told what was going to happen, they still didn't get it, even after he was going through the crucifixion, that he was going to come to life again. But he knew he was from God. He knew that he'd go back to heaven. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man. He knew he was going to be lifted up because the Old Testament said that the Messiah was going to be lifted up. And the picture, of course, there are many of them in the Bible, in the Old Testament, but it was Moses and the serpent, he said in John 3 before this. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, in the same way they put the serpent up on the picture of the cross there, and they looked to the serpent, they lived, and they were freed from the power of the snake and Satan. It's all the symbolism there. In the same way, Jesus knew he'd be lifted up and crucified. It said, cursed is he that hangs on a tree, and all the prophecies about him, his hands and feet being pierced. He understood. He could look around the Roman Empire and said, well, this fits the description of what's going to happen to me. And so he knew that. But he said, that's not the end of it. He said, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself. But as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So he knew he was the truth, whether anybody else knew it or not. Verse 31, he talks about, if you continue in the word, then you'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Faith is understanding. Faith is this. You know, it seems like God said that, and boy, that doesn't always make sense, but I'm going to obey anyway. And once you do that, For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Once you obey, and I want to preach a whole sermon on this. I'm probably preaching down at the Grandview Sunday night. Once you obey, you find out the truth is true. But in the meanwhile, you're walking by faith. But once you've walked by faith and you've obeyed God in faith, once you, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. So you obeyed before you absolutely knew it was the truth. You did it by faith. You said, wow, this is crazy. I got to do this. And God says, do this. Whether it's tithing, whether it's being saved, whatever it is, it's saying, I've got to step out and believe this without knowing, but believing. And then you obey in faith. And all of a sudden, God makes himself so real to you that you know he's true. And and probably in this room, probably 80% of you, you didn't just accept Christ and go on. But many of you, what you did is you in your life obeyed God, and God revealed himself to you in such a clear way that it's humorous that somebody would say, you don't know God. You're like, you don't understand. It's beyond faith now. I mean, I know him. And we'll read verses on that. But you don't get that ahead of time, because then you wouldn't need faith. That's the assurance, the confirmation that God gives you after you obey. And then you get it. And so if you continue, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then you know the truth, it says. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'll get back to that point right there about knowing the truth in a minute. So the first point I want to make about this is we know the truth is, number one, the truth is a truth even if nobody knows it. There are so many times in history you can look back, just in things, not necessarily in the spiritual realm, but just in nature, just in life, just in whatever. The truth is the truth even if nobody knows it. Most people at a certain time thought the earth is flat. And it wasn't. It didn't matter if they thought it was. The Bible already talked about the circle of the earth and things like that. But it didn't change it even if nobody knew it at the time. Okay? It doesn't matter if nobody knows the truth. It's still true. Watch what Jesus read, the 28 and 29. He says, you'll find out later that I was right. Verse 38, I speak to that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Now he says, both of us are following our father, and both of us think we're right, but one of us isn't, because we have different fathers. Then answered they unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Now, these Jews, they were opposing him. They were deceiving themselves. Right before this, they said, we're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to anybody. We talked about the other week how humorous that was. They were in bondage to Rome right then. Rome took them from Greece. Greece took them from Persia. Persia took them from Babylon. They've been in bondage for 700 years. To every world kingdom. What do you mean they never had a bondage to any man? Why do you think that they had to go to the Roman rulers and say, crucify him? Because they're in bondage to Rome. But they were deceiving themselves. And he says, you guys are deceiving yourselves. And so just because they believe that Jesus wasn't God's son doesn't mean that Jesus wasn't God's son. And, you know, the resurrection, of course, where's the body? And it comes to that. See, the truth is the truth whether anybody knows it or not, whether anybody agrees with it or not. 2 Corinthians 13:8, it says, for this is true, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. You can't do anything against the truth. You can work with the truth. You can help the truth. You can take the truth and teach it to people. But you can't do anything against the truth. Somebody says, well, I believe that leeching is going to save a life because the disease is in the blood. And let's stick leeches on you and it'll make you all better. And the most sophisticated minds of their day And by the way, every day, every scientist believes they are the most sophisticated minds they finally get to figure out. That's always been true. It's true today. It was true 800 years ago. It was true 400 years ago. It was true 50 years ago. It's always true. And they said, oh, we have leeches. And that'll, listen, life of the flesh is in the blood. It doesn't matter. It's the leeches don't make you better, even if you believe it. It just doesn't change anything. But you can find out the truth about health. You can find out about bacteria. And you can find out about viruses. And that helps. Now you can do things for the truth. But it didn't make it true when you didn't believe in it. Okay? It doesn't make it true. One of the funniest things in the whole medical field, I was joking with some of the guys on Saturday, is you go to the doctor for the flu, and they give you an antibacterial medicine. Now, they do that because what happens if they don't give people something, people get upset. But it's a virus, and antibacterial kills bacteria. It does zero for you to get you better. But people want to feel like they got some kind of treatment. Now, they know that. They can give you 1,000 pounds of penicillin or Bactrim or whatever. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with what's wrong with you, but you got something. But it really just made you feel like the doctor gave you something. That's all. But it doesn't make it true. It doesn't mean that it's killing the viruses in you. It doesn't do that. Because just because you think something, just because people believe something, doesn't make it true. If you don't believe in gravity, gravity still works. Okay? And the truth is the truth whether anybody knows it, whether anybody believes it. Slavery was wrong at all times in American history. Were there people who said they believed the Bible and believed in slavery? There was a few. One of the misnomers of that, you have to understand, is the North was the Christian part of America in the 1700s, 1800s. All revivals came from the North. New England, all the revivals came there. The North was Christian. The South was the heathen part. But there were some people who went around and tried to justify with the Bible, and we'll read a verse about it later. They twisted the scriptures to their own destruction. But it's hard to love your neighbors yourself while you're beating them and selling their kids from them. And it's hard to do that. But did they believe it was right? Yeah, but was it right? No. Was slavery just as wrong in 1800 as it is today? Yeah. But were there few people who believed it was wrong in 1800? It was different. More people believed it, but it was always wrong. And so it doesn't matter the amount of people who believe it. It doesn't really make a difference how many people believe it. The Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, what if they don't believe in Jesus? It doesn't matter. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to happen. Revelation 1:7, all the kings of the earth and all nations shall wail because of him. Armageddon's going to happen. It doesn't matter what they believe about. It doesn't matter if they believe they're going to win the battle. It doesn't matter what the deal is. It doesn't matter how many people believe something. It's never made it true. There's not like this aura of truth that all of a sudden, if more people believe it, then all of a sudden it becomes true in important things that are real like that. I've had many times in my life where I knew what was true, but nobody believed me. Now, half of that was my fault because I was a troublemaker. I told a story about when I lit the field on fire across the street. How many heard me tell that story about when I lit the field on fire across the street from my house? Just a few of you. I was, my family was, well, we were a rough crowd. And my brother had about 2 years before, I remember I could see as clear as day, he decided to take smoke bombs. And we were messing around with smoke bombs. And he threw it in the neighbor's mailbox. He thought it'd be funny. The neighbor would open the mailbox and smoke would come out. He thought it'd be funny. And I don't know why, but all of a sudden he thought, this is a bad idea. And he grabbed the smoke bomb out of the mailbox. And guess what? It was hot. And so he started juggling it, and he threw it out in the field. That field across the street was as dry as a bone. Middle of summer. 4th of July. Whole field caught on fire. And I remember the fireman coming, and my brother was the one who did it, and everybody in the neighborhood knew it was probably our family one way or another. And I remember my brother scared of death talking about that those firemen got axes, they're going to come to start the fire, and he was scared to death. I remember watching that as a kid. 2 years later, I'm across the street, same field, grass is big, fields regrown, we're inside of a car, my friend Jason. And Jason's in the car with me, and all of a sudden he finds book of matches, checkbook, inside this old rotten car. he lights the book of takes the book of matches, lights the checks on fire, and jumps out of the car when it started getting bigger. And I don't know why, but it really started going. And I'm sitting there going, so broken glass in there, I throw a bunch of broken glass in there, I jump out of the car, run across the street, run up to my sister upstairs, she's inside the house, said, Connie, if you had something on fire and you put glass on it, would it put it out? She says, why? The whole field's on fire. Well, does my friend Jason, as all the fire department comes again, does my friend Jason tell the truth about what happens? No. I'm still trying to find him on Facebook to make him verify it to this day. But I got scared. Remember my brother said about firemen and axes, and I froze. And I couldn't even tell my sister that I didn't do it. And the whole neighborhood's going, what a bad kid, you lit that field on fire. And I was scared to death. You know, no one ever believed me on that. The only reason I'm talking about it is because it's still giving me trauma. But that happened. Well, since I was such a bad kid, later on, there was a neighbor three houses down there in Boise. Somebody broke into their house and stole all their money and piggy banks and everything else. And guess who got blamed? Me. Now, was I the kind of person who might have stole something, Ben? I might have. I just didn't do that. But guess what? Everyone in the neighborhood is convinced I did it. My brothers and sisters didn't believe me. Now, did I steal the piggy bank and the money? I'm still not trusted. Did I steal a piggy bank? Please, I'm having trauma here. Did I steal all the money out of the house? No. Did I light the car and field on fire? Uh-oh. And I didn't do it either. Now, because everybody believed I did it, did that mean all of a sudden I did it? No. The amount of people who believe something, and half of you still don't believe me, and the amount of people who believe something does not matter. I was laughing at last Thursday. Remember was it Thursday or Sunday when he had the person get hit and knocked out and all that stuff? When was that? Sunday night. And I was thinking, in 2 weeks, drunk driver, Hugh Jackson right in front of me, cars flying everywhere, people collapsing all around me, and then person knocked out, run over by car. Ankle run over and bleeding all over the place. And I said to my family, I said, this stuff happened. I never go a month out watching a wreck happen. Stuff happens around me all the time. I'm just glad I don't get hit as much anymore. It's been 3 years since I've been hit. Can you believe that? 3 years for me. That's a miracle. But I was saying, I don't know if anybody even believes me how many things I see like this. I see weird stuff all the time. It's maybe I cause it. I don't know. But I say, it's good for they got to see something that I see all the time. Weird stuff. Because sometimes you think, it only happens to me, and maybe nobody believes me that it really happens. Listen, the truth is the truth. Jesus said, hey, you guys aren't going to believe me to write this, but I'm going to die and be raised from the dead. And he died and was raised from the dead, even though his disciples didn't even get it. The truth is the truth, no matter how many people believe it or not. Let's look at 1 John 5:19. It's just the way things are. God is right. Every knee's going to bow. It's going to happen. Doesn't matter who believes it or doesn't believe it. And God's going to be true. I'm still hurt. I got some doubt out there that I really didn't like that fire. So 1 John 5:19. It says this, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And so you see, I'm in chapter 3. Let me go to chapter 5. I'm reading the wrong verse there. It says what it says if I read the wrong verse. Verse 19, it says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. 1 John 5:19. We know we're of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, right now, the whole world doesn't doubt God. That's fine. Overwhelming majority of people believe in God. Overwhelming majority of people in America believe in God, and all those things. But but if nobody in America believed the Bible's still true. In their case, they said, we know we're of God in the whole world. Now, I don't think every single person, they turn the world upside down by this time. But they're saying, you know, the whole world system lies in wickedness. Not every single individual, because there is the world was being transformed at the time. But the whole world lies in, he wasn't worried about how many people believed. He's just worried about the truth. You know, and so we see that. So it doesn't matter how many people believe it. It doesn't matter if anybody knows it. The truth is the truth. You can't do anything against it but for it. Number two, Jesus is the truth. Know him and you'll know the truth. Jesus said, ye shall be my disciples and ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Well, the truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is embodiment of truth. He is truth. And so, once you know Jesus, you know the truth. It's beyond just a doctrine. Christianity is beyond a doctrine. It's a relationship with a person, and it just so happens that person is truth. And so when you know him, you know truth. It is amazing the fog that lifts off your mind when you get to know Jesus. You see so clearly. You see life so clearly. You're not the blind leading the blind into a ditch. You see what life's about. You see the purpose of life. You see that he's real. Once you know him, because he is truth. He personally is truth. And so knowing Jesus is knowing the truth, because that's who he is. And so getting to know Jesus gets you to know truth, and clarity is there. I remember talking to a guy who went to college, he went to State University, and he's telling me he went to the philosophy class. And the first day, the first thing they said in class, they said, first thing he wants you to know is we do not even have any idea what the truth is. That's the first thing they said. Well, they should have let a born-again Christian of the Bible tell them. And because Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. Jesus is the truth, and you get to know him, and you'll know the truth. It won't be unclear anymore. Whenever somebody doubts the truth, I always say, you know, there's a problem with them not being close to Jesus, because knowing Jesus, you just know. It's just because he lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You just know him, and that's not explainable or anything else. It's just you just know him. Great conversions show that. You read of great conversions. You see somebody get saved, and suddenly it's like a light is turned on, and they say that they are so transformed. And we'll talk about the Holy Spirit in a minute and how he does that. Number three, the Bible is the truth. John 17:17. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The more I study the Bible, you know, the more I study the Bible, the more I'm in awe. As I preached out of Revelation chapter 1 on Sunday morning, you know how long I've known backward and forward Revelation chapter 1? And as I was teaching that, and I'm seeing just a new level of depth, and I've seen several layers of depth in Revelation 1. And it's amazing Revelation 1 is. But I saw this stuff, and I just again said, the Word of God is so amazing. It is so deep. It is so profound. It leaves faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more you know the Bible, the more you know it's true. Not you know about the Bible, the more you know the Bible. The Bible is true. Study the Bible. Spend time in the Bible. It's life transforming. Number four, the Holy Spirit will lead us into truth, and if we let him. Let me take you to John 14. This is where I want to just really, really focus for a minute and help us understand that, because the rest of these will bring up a question, a couple questions that I want to answer here. The Bible says in John 14:26, we quote this verse a lot, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. John 3:24 says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. The Holy Spirit. Now, let me read a couple more verses, and I'll explain this. John 14:17. He's called the Spirit of Truth, even the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. John 15 and verse 26, he says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth." Again, John 16, 13. "Howbeit when he is come, the Spirit of Truth." The Holy Spirit leads and guides into all truth, but he is called the Spirit of Truth. He's not just the Holy Spirit. He's a Spirit of Truth. He'll lead and guide you into all truth. Now, here's one of the things. I was meditating on this and thinking a little bit about this. This is when I preached at camp, at teen camp just a month ago. When we were there, we had several pastors there, and on the way back, after it was done, I noticed Brother Cox and Brother Miller. They're walking a ways ahead of me, and I'm always a fast walker, and so I was catching up to them. And as I was getting up to them, they were talking, and both of them were raising fantastic homes. Both of them raising godly pastors' homes and good folks. You know, love their parents. Good folks, both of them. And they were talking about what I had said about how I was raised. And they said, "I've never heard anybody say before, you weren't raised." And as we got out of the room, and they were teary eyed, and they were tears in their, you know, rolling in their faces, just talking about cannot imagine that. And, you know, Brother Miller said, "You know, I knew I was kind of blessed when I grew up, and I kind of understood it." But he said, "I never really understood having the presence of God in a home, because I went from my parents' home to my home, and it was the presence of God." And just in the ministry, it dawned on me at some point in my ministry, all of a sudden, I was ministering in a home and thought, yuck, this is what a home is like without God. And he said, "I did not know." And he said, "Then it dawned on me just what a blessing it is to have God in your home. But I didn't get that before." And he said, "I never really understood it because it's all I had." And that made me, just thinking of that, the Holy Spirit, you know, I listened to a man who was just one of the roughest guys I ever met in my life. When he got saved, the second he got saved, he was completely transformed. I mean, the second. And he knew the Holy Spirit came inside of him. I remember praying with a guy one time, and one of my friends when I was a teenager, and we were both worldly kids together, and I was just coming into Christianity. And I remember it was the first time in my life I was actually injured. And we were racing down the stairs, and I was jumping up five steps at a time, and my foot caught on the edge of the stair, and my ankle buckled. And so we were working out that night, and so we couldn't work out anymore. So we sat in the car waiting for somebody else to come. And as we're talking there, boy, I got a chance to witness to him. And boy, he was ripe. I know that guy's name right now. And he was ready to get saved. I remember as we prayed and he accepted Christ, he said, "Whoa, I just felt something come into me." Now, he didn't know the doctrine of the Holy Spirit yet. You know, he didn't know that yet. But all that he never, and who knows what he had inside of him before, but he knew that. And what I'm getting to is, if you grow up around the Holy Spirit, and then you grow up in a good home, and then all of a sudden you get saved at a young age, the Holy Spirit's all you know. But the Bible says in 1 John 3, it says, "Hereby we know that we are of the truth by a Spirit that dwells in us." Now, when I got saved, I suddenly knew something was different inside me. I knew there was somebody living inside of me. That's kind of different. And so, but I didn't really understand, because twice in 1 John it says, you know you're of the truth by the Holy Spirit inside of you. The Holy Spirit in his presence is so powerful and so real that when you don't experience it and you get the Holy Spirit inside of you and he dwells you, you say, something's different here. You don't even have to know the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. You just know something's different there. When you get saved and you really get it, the Holy Spirit comes inside, and it's not like, do I feel it? It's not that. This man who was the roughest guy I ever heard, he said, "I didn't need a single verse of assurance." He said, "I already knew something was different." And so when that happened, and we've read thousands of conversions and talked to so many people who, the second they got saved, boom, the burden. I mean, something's different because the Holy Spirit's inside. And I thought, you know, a kid who grows up around the Holy Spirit, he just thinks that's the way it is. So almost the presence of the Holy Spirit doesn't give them as much assurance. unless they really get far from God and suddenly they get in the presence of God, maybe they're saved and backslid, then all of a sudden they'll feel the presence of the Holy Spirit working inside them. I'll say, whoa, did I ever miss this? But most of the time, they don't really understand just how powerful it is to have the Spirit of truth. Let's read a couple of verses in 1 John. But the Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. And I'll just read a couple of verses on that, because I was going to make a sermon, a lesson out of it, but I'm not going to, I don't think. And 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by his Spirit, which he hath given us." And then chapter 4, verse 13, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." So we know that the truth because the Holy Spirit is in us. Chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, "You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." The Holy Spirit leads into truth. So, question comes. If the Holy Spirit leads into all truth, why don't all Christians agree? The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. Let me illustrate this. Robbie, come on up here and be the Holy Spirit. Okay, and let's say the truth on this doctrine that we're going to go at is right where the candles are, okay? And you're going to lead me to the truth. Now, right now I'm thinking this, but I've got to get where I'm thinking this. So you're going to lead me to truth. So go ahead and start leading me. So he's leading me to the truth, and I'm going to be right and I get to it, okay? That's what should happen. That's what's supposed to happen with believers. The Holy Spirit leads you. You say, oh, that's the truth. And the Holy Spirit, it says he shall lead and guide you into all truth. But here's what happens. Now try to lead me again. No, I don't want to believe that. I believe this over here. I believe this. No, this is what you say, God. This is the truth. Why? Because I don't want to get there. I don't want to get there. And I wrote down three things, three reasons you can be seated. Three reasons we don't get the truth. I believe every Christian, the Bible says what it says, okay? The Holy Spirit says what he says. But not everybody's going to come to that. The Bible says things very clearly. Why don't they? Just a few things. Why don't sometimes we get to the truth? Number one is tradition. Tradition stops us. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. And verse 3. "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" And verse 6. "And honor thy father and mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." And a really powerful verse is Mark 7, 9. First thing is tradition. Mark 7, 9. It said, "And he said unto them, Full well reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." I think one of the greatest illustrations of this is a man who did a lot more for God than I ever did, but Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a good man. Catholic priest, Holy Spirit spoke to him, brought him to faith. He got saved, and you can go to the very spot where he got saved. But he'd been taught his whole life that if you get baptized as a baby and you die, your soul goes to hell. And so he baptized babies his whole life. And he came out and said, yes, you're justified by faith. Yes, the scripture is the only authority. And all the right things, and did a tremendous work. But he could not, because of his tradition, stop baptizing babies. And so Lutherans baptize babies because it's tradition. Didn't matter that the Bible says Jesus came up out of the water. Just didn't matter there's no babies getting baptized. Doesn't matter what must I do. What hinders me being baptized if you believe with all your heart? Then he got baptized. It doesn't matter. Jesus couldn't get there because of his tradition. Okay? Tradition, this is what my church believes. This is what my family believes. This is what we've always done. This is what I've always thought. And it disagrees with what you want to believe because your tradition, you stop from getting to the truth. Second thing is hard hearts. Hard hearts. Because you want to believe it. Second, we're not going to turn to 2 Peter, but turn to John 8. We'll read some more verses out of John 8. 2 Peter says, "For this they are willingly ignorant." Why? They don't want it to be true. Why? In that case, because the judgment comes if God really made the universe. And judgment is upon them. So they're willingly ignorant that God made the universe because they don't want God to be true. And it's a hard heart. You don't want it to be true, so you're not going to believe it no matter what God leads you to. Verse 43, "Why do you not understand?" This is John 8, 43. "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Have you ever had someone who wanted to be mad at you and you could not logic with them to not be mad at you? Why? They want to be mad at you. Doesn't matter if you showed them the truth. You did this to me. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Let me prove it to you. No, I don't believe you. Well, here's the proof. I don't believe you. Why? They want to. And so somebody says, I don't want that to be true. I don't want to, you know, I'll tell you this. There are doctrines that I don't want to be true. I don't want hell to be true. But I believe it. And I'm not going to say, well, it's not true because I don't want that to be true. I don't want hell to be true. But I'm not going to let a hard heart and become hardened about it. I'm going to say, you know, I accept what God says. He knows better than me. And, you know, he sees sin differently than me. And so you trust him. And the third thing is just twisting the scriptures because you want to. And second, this is a good verse. First, 2 Peter chapter 3, and this will be the last verse we'll read. Why do we sometimes not get to the truth, even though we have the word of God and the Spirit comes to us? Why would two Christians disagree? It's tradition. They have a tradition. They always do it that way. That's just what they do. 2 Peter chapter 3, and who wants to be wrong, by the way? 2 Peter 3:16. It says, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them of these things, in all in which some things are hard to be understood, and they which are unlearned and unstable rest. There's a key word. Not R-E-S-T, but W-R-E-S-T. As they do also other scriptures under their own destruction. The truth is still true. Two reasons they do it. It says they rest. The word rest, it means to twist and torque something into a different shape. They twist the truth because they want it to be that way. Okay? Now, the Bible says there's one God. Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead. God loves holiness. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is a one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I mean, the Bible says what it says. It just says what it says. Love your neighbor as yourself. Ten commandments. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. I mean, it just says what it says. It says salvation is through Jesus Christ. It says what it says. But sometimes our tradition stops us. Sometimes we don't want it to be true. What do you think prosperity gospel is? How in the world did they get to that from the Bible? Well, they twisted the scripture to say what they wanted to say so they could say, I'm serving Jesus and he's making me rich. They twisted it to their own destruction. And because they wanted it, why? They wanted wealth and Jesus. And that's what happens. When you have an agenda, you want this to be true. You don't want this to be true. I'm going to find what's wrong with this. And that's what you do. They twist it to their own destruction, by the way. The truth doesn't change. I believe the gravity only works until you get 5 feet from the ground. Then you jump off a building. Okay, you twisted the truth, but it's still not going to be good. And it's still the way it is. And it says they're also unlearned. Sometimes people do not know what they're studying. They don't know what they're reading. They're not saved. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They're not studying the whole scripture. You do not understand the Bible if you pinpoint one spot. The Bible brings the Bible into context and helps you understand it. You don't understand the Old Testament at all unless you understand the New Testament. They're ignorant. They don't know the Bible. They don't know what God says. They're ignorant. And so they mess up what the scripture says because they just don't know what it says. That's why some people don't get there. So overall, what we're saying is if you will go and you will say, Lord, what does your word say? Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And you study the scriptures and you read the scriptures and you lose your agenda and say, Lord, whatever you say the Bible says, I will believe. And you let the Holy Spirit guide you. You will find we know the truth. And ye shall know the truth. And we know we are of the truth, and the whole world lies in wickedness. We know the truth. And you know what? You don't say, oh, I think this is right. No, there is such a blessed assurance in knowing the truth. There is such a clarity. It's not like, okay, I'm convinced Florida's going to win the NCAA tournament. It's not like that. It's not that kind of, I have studied this out and I'm pretty sure it's, man, I know the Lord. I know what the Bible is true. I know Jesus is coming. I mean, not, well, I hope this is true. No, it's something so obvious and clear. You've experienced it by knowing God. You've been supernaturally taught by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, which always comes true and has been so true to you in your life, you just know, and you live in blessed assurance. You know, you know what? What can we know? We can know the Lord. We can know we're going to heaven. We can know the truth. Because it's right there in the Word of God, and we have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, the Spirit of truth. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, thank you for the chance to teach on your Word. I pray that we would walk in truth and know the truth, Lord. We could have taught a lot more on this about walking in truth. And Lord, we just thank you that we have your Spirit and your Word. Now, Lord, some people are willingly ignorant. They want things to be a certain way, and some unsaved, some saved. But Lord, help us to be submissive to your Spirit. Help us to study your Word and just see what it says and just trust it. Lord, help us to follow. Help us to be submissive. And I pray, Lord, if anybody here has never been saved and doesn't have the Holy Spirit inside of them, I pray today they would know the truth. And the truth would set them free, that anybody here who's not saved tonight would trust Jesus as their Savior. And all of us as Christians would have a tender heart towards you. Help us, Lord. Help us to show the truth. And help us to know it and live in that. We know we are of the truth that you give in your Word. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe today somebody here doesn't know you're saved. You don't know you're going to heaven.